Moose Miller sitting in tonight for Geralyn Steele on WCCO. Documentary filmmaker Jen Senko is with us. Her latest film is called The Brainwashing of My Dad. So in 1987, the Fairness Doctrine gets knocked down and Rush Limbaugh goes national. I remember that Rush to Excellence tour that started in 1988. What does this, The Brainwashing of My Dad documentary, kind of pull the curtain back on at this point?
That the Fairness Doctrine, since it's no longer there, they're not bound, the broadcasters aren't bound by those rules, and somebody like Rush Limbaugh could be played in radio stations, you know, all over the country, and that there's no other voices. So it really... has an effect on democracy, because democracy depends on dissent and you know, various thoughts. So it talk radio became basically conservative, if you will. I don't even like the word conservative, because I respect the word conservative. I think a lot of this is very radical, far right. You know, nobody, you said what would happen to the progressives. Well, big corporations are not going to really back progressives. Generally, they're going to back business interests and, you know, more conservative.
Yeah, well, I remember Air America, you know, trying to make a go of it in the 90s and the early 2000s. And, you know, around the country, there were some, you know, pretty popular progressive talk show hosts. Randy Rhodes comes to mind.
Mm-hmm.
For the most part, it just never seemed to gain traction. And then as more and more radio stations started firing local talent because it was cheaper than to put on, you know, Rush Limbaugh and fill 3 hours of, a good national program, that too had an effect across the country.
That's true. Mm-hmm.
You know, but at the same time, and even before this, you know, you had CNN, which started up, what, right around 1980 or so, somewhere around there?
I'm not sure, to be honest.
Yeah, I think it was the early 80s, you know, mm-hmm. Ted Turner's, you know, cable news network.
Right.
And that had a run for about 10, 15 years before Fox News showed up in the mm-hmm. early 90s. How did you examine this in your documentary?
With the rise of Fox News?
Right. And, you know, because you had CNN who, you know, I don't know, there can be an argument made that, you know, they leaned to the left a little bit. And, you know, then along comes Fox News.
Maybe CNN once was objective, and I doubt if they leaned to the left. I think they probably were just a pretty objective. I remember I'd used to travel and I'd see CNN on, like, you know, in foreign countries. I think it was just considered bland. But with the advent of Fox on, it, and because of its popularity, you know, it that sort of affected other media. You know, like David Brock says, like, media is sort of this ecosystem. And then CNN starts competing to become more like Fox, and all media is affected. And that's why it's called the Fox effect. So,
but why do you think it became so popular, you know, you know, older, you know, white men?
Well, it's, first of all, it's appealing to them. I mean, it's popular because it pushes emotional buttons, tells people who they can be angry at. Anger can be sort of seductive. You know, and I even posit in my film that anger can be somewhat addictive, because along with anger comes adrenaline. And especially if you're older and you don't have that much going on, if that's the case, then this is lively and exciting, but ultimately destructive.
Yeah, and I think you kind of get into how your father's media diet really kind of changed his personality. When did you start to notice that? At what age, really?
You mean what age was he?
Yeah, when this, you know, started to take place and happen.
I think it started. started in his 50s. That's what we were trying to figure out the other day. I think it was his 50s that it started.
So that would have been what decade then?
Well, the late 80s, the early 90s was when we really started noticing it.
And what was it that you started noticing?
Just that suddenly he had all these opinions and that he hated Democrats. And then when email came in, he started emailing everybody in the family. All of these really, like, far-right things and emails. And a lot of them were obviously made up, and we couldn't understand why he didn't see them. And they were all kind of like just like very angry and against Democrats and or against poor people.
Well, and I would also, you know, venture that, you know, we saw a lot of, and we still do, a lot of patriotically themed emails that,
right.
You know, if you don't agree with this, then you're not American.
That's right. Pass it on or you're not American.
Yeah.
You know, and a lot of it, you know, it's just propaganda, and a lot of it's made up stuff by, you know, couple of guys sitting around in think tanks, like thinking, well, what kind of email can we make up that people can pass around that looks really convincing, like, you know, somebody
sure.
really saw this happen or something. Yeah, I remember one email where it's like a student stands up to an atheist teacher in class, and at that moment, you know, a clap of thunder happened or something like that. I'm like, this is just so obviously made up. And, you know, and it's like, pass this on, you know, if you believe in America and you believe in God.
Yeah. Well, and there's a lot of religion wrapped into some of that stuff, too, as well. We're visiting with Jen Senko. She's a filmmaker and has put together a documentary, The Brainwashing of My Dad, which is out through, you know, a limited release here. And if you just go to the website, thebrainwashingofmydad.com, the official website, you might be able to find out where it's available or through video on demand. One of the things that you explore here, though, is the bigger picture of what's happening, you know, with behind the scenes on these giant media properties, whether it's, you know, Fox News or, you know, the Huffington Post or, you know, our whole national discourse now is totally manipulated by, you know, what your media diet is. And, there, you know, because of a lack of a fairness doctrine, you know, people are now hardened and calcified into positions.
Mm-hmm. Also because of the Telecommunications Act, which allowed for consolidation of the media. That's why I think it's really harmful, this media. It just affects all other media. And, you know, we see, like, Donald Trump, and how could you be puzzled about, you know, how somebody like him came about. I mean, he used to be a Democrat, and I bet my life that he started watching Fox News, you know, along with many, many millions of others. And, you know, he intuitively knows how to hit the right buttons. You know, he hits all the same emotional buttons, and it just resonates with these people. And they're like, yeah, what he says, yeah, whatever he's saying, you know. There's an emotional connection there, and it's very powerful.
Well, I think you can also, like I said earlier, you can look at what's happening right now with the Republican Party and, you know, the Roger Ailes crowd that, you know, has controlled Fox News for so long. You know, they've got this Frankenstein of Donald Trump that they can't control. You know, this guy's, you know, the monster now running loose in their own party.
Exactly.
And when you embrace, you know, some of these fringe groups and, you know, the extremist kind of KKK crowd and don't denounce it soundly, and that's kind of a tacit approval, you know, ahead of all these southern primaries, you know, who would be surprised that we're seeing what we're seeing in, you know, some of these rallies and things like that? You know, you've invited these groups into the tent. What is it that you didn't figure out was going to eventually happen?
Right. I mean, are you know, newscasters like pretending that they don't connect, they're not connecting the dots or what? It's just so obvious, you know. They created a monster. The GOP created like Fox and this right-wing media, you know, by deregulating the media in a sense, and that created Trump, and that created his supporters. And it's funny because it's kind of going full cycle now.
Well, yeah, I talked with a former news director, now journalism professor over at the University of Minnesota last weekend. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we were talking about Trump sure seems to get a pass. And, you know, and Fox kind of did that quite well, as I think the argument can be made on CNN with Democratic candidates. That, you know, they want to have these people on as regular guests because they provide ratings. Well, if you, you know, really put their feet to the fire, they're not going to come back. You're not going to get the ratings.
Right. What you were saying before about fair and balance, like it's about balance now, where it used to be about objectivity. You know, you have this person on, so, and they're from the, you know, more liberal side, so you have to have that person on from the more conservative side.
Well, and even if you watch like the Five on Fox or you watch a CNN panel, you know, it's interesting to see, you know, who the Democrat is on Fox and who's the conservative representative.
Quote unquote Democrat.
Yeah, on CNN. You know, it's really gotten to be, you know, pretty pathetic. And, you know, this election, if anything, you know, it has pointed out that, you know, the regular political pundit crowd, you don't know what's going on. You're not on the ground. You don't see the what's going on a grassroots level.
Yeah. Yeah, very true.
You know, and there's a lot of people, I think, in the Republican Party that are going, hey, you know, I've bought into this for three decades now, and I still haven't seen anything. But, you know, the guys that are funding this machine sure seem to have benefited over the years. The Rupert Murdochs and the, you know, the Roger Ailes and that kind of crowd, the Koch brothers you know, George Soros on the other side of things here. You know, it's, you know, that crowd sure seems to have done okay.
Right. Yeah. What kills me is that they'll blame the short term person like Obama, you know, when I mean, no matter what you feel about him, I mean, he did bring us back from the cliffs of a depression, you know, but they'll blame him because they're not doing well, or they're not doing like they used to. But that's been because of 30 years of trickle-down economics, you know, and that agenda being pushed on us, and deregulation, you know, what came out of deregulation.
Well, you know, you can make a strong argument. That came out of the Clinton administration, too.
I know.
You know, in the late 90s when you,
you know,
you gutted a lot of regulatory, you know, stuff on Wall Street. You know, you were sowing the seeds for what we saw in the early 2000s. Well, what a fascinating piece that you've put together here. It's called
Thank
The Brainwashing
you.
Of My Dad. Jen Senko is the director, and you can learn more by going to the website as to where you might be able to view this or see it, thebrainwashingofmydad.com. Thanks for sitting in tonight with us here on WCCO.
Oh, thank you, Moose, very much.
That's Jen Senko. Documentary filmmaker, The Brainwashing of My Dad. Probably not going to be for everybody's taste, but interesting idea and approach to things. It's Moose Miller sitting in tonight for Geraldine Steele. When we come back, we'll run through the NCAA basketball scores for the final Sweet 16 roundup of teams. You know, who made it through, who didn't. A heartbreaking loss tonight earlier for the University of Northern Iowa against Texas A&M. We'll update that and the Badgers and everybody else coming up here on WCCO.